I'd like to welcome everyone to our gospel meeting. And we'd like to start this evening by singing a hymn on the hymn sheet that was on your seat or handed to you, number 16. Hymn number 16. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Number 16 on your hymn sheet. Someone raise the tune for us, please.
Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the blessed radiance over vale and hill. Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh must not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing before we open the Word of God. Our God and our Father, we would thank Thee once again this evening for the opportunity to speak of that wonderful message of the Gospel. We would thank Thee, Father, for Thy concern for us, Thy love to us, and the gift of the Lord Jesus, Thy beloved Son, and what He did for us on the cross. And we pray tonight for blessing on our time together. And we do pray, Father, especially for ones in this room perhaps tonight that haven't come yet. And we do thank Thee for Thy long-suffering and patience that the door is still open. And we pray for blessing tonight. And we count on it, Father, and ask it with confidence. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I have two books with me, and I'm going to talk a bit about these two books, or from these books, if you allow me. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't like to read. And so when I had book assignments in school, what I'd do is I'd look at the table of contents, the title of the chapters. Sometimes they had illustrations, so I looked through the illustrations, and I'd read the last chapter, something like that. And then I'd write my book review, you know. So I always used to go to the end of the book, you know, to see how it ends. When I got my first Bible, I started to read from the beginning there. And in the Old Testament, I had a really hard time because I didn't know the God of the Old Testament. He's the same God as the New Testament, but I hadn't heard of a God like that. And so I decided to go and read the last book. And that was the book of Revelation. And that didn't sound too good to me, because that book spoke of things terrible that are going to happen. Haven't happened yet. But I did get to the 21st chapter, and I'd like to go to Revelation chapter 21 right now, because in the 21st chapter of Revelation we have a happy ending. That's a happy portion, the first seven verses. I'd like to read these with you, if I may. Revelation chapter 21, and from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, if we look around the world tonight, there is sorrow and crying and pain and death. There's not going to be any more of this in this scene here. It's a beautiful scene. And my desire for you is that you're going to be participating when all these things are new. No more tears, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. It is going to happen. It says here, these words are true and faithful. It's going to happen. It's going to be exactly like it's written in here. But I have to read the 8th verse. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Blessing, happiness, no more crying, no more tears, but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you had your pick, where would you want to be? Wouldn't you want to be in the first part? That's where I'm going to be. And I hope that's where you're going to be. But some are going to be in the part from the 8th verse on. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions. I know murderers who are going to be in that part in the first 7 verses. I know Moses, you've heard of Moses, I'm sure. He murdered an Egyptian. Did something really bad. He's going to be there. King David. Whew. He did worse than Moses. He wickedly committed adultery with one of his soldiers' wives. And he tried to cover it up. And when he couldn't cover it up, he had him killed in a cowardly manner. He's going to be in the part of those first 7 verses. Ever told a lie? If you said no, you just told one. Liars, their part is in the lake of fire. But many liars are not going to be in the lake of fire. They're going to be that first part. First 7 verses. How can that be? I never killed anybody. But I'm guilty of lying. But tonight I'm not lying to you. I'm reading from the Word of God. As I was considering the gospel this evening, you know, Sometimes when we preach the gospel, we can speak of just the beautiful things. All these things you can enter into by simple faith in the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. But what God has laid on my heart tonight is the awful thing that is going to happen to someone who's going to partake of what's in the 8th verse and on. And the desire of my heart tonight, and of many in this room, is that nobody in this room will be excluded from the blessings of those first 7 verses. Now I want your attention. If you have a cell phone, put it away. If you have a device, put it away. I want your attention. I want you to tell me that I have your attention. I want you to put your hand up. Please put your hand up. And if there's anybody in your row who doesn't put his hand up, give him a nudge there. You're not paying attention. You have to pay attention. This is the most important subject for you and your life for eternity. That's what the gospel message is. God undertook to take you to heaven and to forgive you anything you might have committed described in the 8th verse. Or anything else not described there that is displeasing to God. God has undertaken to take you to heaven. And He wants you to go to heaven. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And no one in this room is excluded from God's love. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And I suggest to you tonight, my friend, that every one of us can say that. And it might not apply to you. You can say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, but I do not believe Him. But I have not put my trust in Him. He has loved me and He's given Himself for me. But I will not have Him as my Savior." Would you dare to say that? You know, I have this other little book here, little black book. I use it for notes, you know. And I have some names in here. You know, God has a book, and He has names in that book. Perhaps your name is not in my book. It's not important. Is anybody here named Enriquita? Nobody? Anybody here named Mirita? How about Eudania? No, Eudania isn't here. Oh. Sulema? No Sulemas. If your name was in here, I might give you $1,000. Your name is in here. I have more names. I have Saint Faurien. Anybody here called Saint Faurien? Benoit. No Benoit. Casimir. Mathilde. Odeline. Hey. I have one name in my book. Anybody here named Cody? Hey, there's my friend Cody. Cody Harkins, he's in my book. Hey, you're not going to get $1,000. But you know, when I was thinking of the gospel message last night, I was thinking of that book of life where the Lord has names in there. And I was thinking of that, and I said, "It'd be nice, Lord, if, you know, I just saw a young man and maybe a child. I'm going to ask him if I put his name in there." And I was sitting there this morning and Cody came over to me. And he said, are you Mr. Rogers? No, I wasn't. But I did get his name and put down my list here. The name of Cody Harkins. It's not important if your name's not in my book, you know. But there is a book here in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I do hope and pray that your name is in there. It's verse 15, Revelation chapter 20, And verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, not in Michelle's black book, doesn't matter. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Somebody said, I don't believe in the lake of fire. Well, these things are true, my friend. It's the word of God. There is a lake of fire. And you do not go in the lake of fire because you lied or you murdered or you cheated or you stole. The reason people go into the lake of fire is because their name is not written in the book of life. Now, I'm not going to do this, but some people do that to other people. They lock the doors. Heard of a Pentecostal pastor, he said, we lock the doors, we're not going to leave this room till we got so much money in the collection. It's not a very good testimony. But tonight, if I could, I'd lock the doors and say, I don't want anybody to leave this room until they're sure their name is in the book of life. So I ask you, young man, young lady, younger ones, my friend Cody, I didn't ask him. He's got his name in my book, but I trust he has his name in the Lamb's book of life. It's called in another passage, the Lamb's book of life. God puts the name in that book of all the ones that are at the benefit of the work of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's go to a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 3, well-known verse. We use it all the time. It's a beautiful verse. We can't overuse it. Young people, children that go to Sunday school, some of the first verses they learn by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This one is called the Lord Jesus. You know, I have opportunity in the gospel in some therapy houses with people that are criminals and have drug problems, gambling problems, all sorts of problems. And I quote this verse to them, and I ask them, who is this God's beloved Son? And they all say, Jesus. Nobody questions that. We can affirm that this one is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God who became a man so He could die. And He died. Just not any death. He died on the cross. Object of derision by men and forsaken of God. This one, whose name is Jesus, He always did those things that pleased His Father, not like you and me. We did things that displeased God and have every one of us deserve is eternal punishment. Unless our names are in the Lamb's book of life, we're going to get what we deserve. And I am never, ever going to get what I deserve. And neither is Moses. And neither is David. What about you? Are you going to get what you deserve? Or will you have the Lord Jesus receiving what you deserve on the cross? That's the love of God. That's what God has provided for you and me in the gift of His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will may come. whosoever excludes nobody. But it only includes those that believe. None in this room are excluded from God's love. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son and delivered Him to the torments of the cross so He could have you in heaven as one of His sons and daughters. Same for girls, boys, same thing. If you put someone before a choice, something put before them and say, you have to decide. You can't stay on the fence. You have to go right or you have to go left. With the gospel, it's a wonderful opportunity to be blessed for eternity. It costs nothing. It costs God everything, and it costs you nothing. And when you believe God, He's glorified. He becomes a great God. And the Lord Jesus, a great Savior. What God is looking for in your heart and mind is just a little faith in a great Savior. You know, in Christian circles, sometimes they speak of big faith. I have a lot of faith, you know. And sometimes when you talk with people like that, you find out they have a lot of faith in a small Savior. He didn't do that much for them because they might lose what they gained when they believed. Well, the Savior that I have, He's brought me to perfection forever. We had these verses before us, a little before our reading there in Hebrews, in the verse 14 of chapter 10. The Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That thief on the cross, he recognized that he was receiving what he deserved from men. And had he entered into eternity with the weight of his sins, he would have received from God what he deserved. But he didn't enter into eternity like that. He was one who was cursing the Lord and saying bad things to Him. And he had a change of heart. And he didn't know what to ask, but he did see on the cross, it says, King of the Jews. And he said, King must be kingdoms. And he said to the Lord, Lord. He didn't say, save me, forgive me my sins. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. There was going to be a coming kingdom. He was the king. He didn't have much intelligence as to what to ask for. And what did the Lord tell him today? Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not just in the kingdom, on the earth. In paradise with the Lord Jesus. He might have been a murderer. As far as we know, he had the death penalty on him. He was a malefactor, one who did wrong. And he's not going to go into the lake of fire like we had in verse 8 of chapter 21 of Revelation. He went straight to heaven. With the Lord. Is God fair? The Pharisees would think not. You know, they fasted three times a week. Sometimes we think like that. You know, I go to meeting and I follow my mom and dad around and I learn verses by heart. It's all very good, you know. But none of that to take you to heaven unless you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And have Him as your Savior. So this man, he was a guilty man. He was a wicked man. He did many things wrong. Society wanted to get rid of him. But he went to heaven. Because he called upon the name of the Lord. He got more than he asked for. Why is that? We talked to the right person. He addressed the right person. And tonight it tells us, you know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to be saved. It says that in the Scripture. On what basis? Because this one who's called Jesus, who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, He was on the cross and He bore the penalty the chastisement of all those that trust in him. I don't know how old you are, but I was 27 years old when I asked the Lord to be my Savior, and I trusted him. Have you ever done that? Doesn't matter what age you are, you can be young. You can be 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, write my name in your book, please. Now, if you ask me tonight, Michelle, just as a souvenir, would you write your name, my name in your book? Of course. Come and see me and I'll be glad to write your name, you know? And I'll have some names that match other than Cody's, you know, because the other ones I have are from Cuba and Africa and none here fit your names. So tonight, if you ask the Lord Jesus, would you put your name, my name in your book, Lord Jesus? Of course he will. That's why he came, you know. Now, many of you tonight, I know, you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest, every one of you. I want you to put your hand up, not right now, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to put your hand up just a second, not right away. And then I want you to look around. Because I want you to be honest. I want you to look around in your row and see if anybody hasn't put their hand up. There's nothing wrong with not putting your hand up. In fact, if you don't know your name is in there, don't put your hand up. But I want you who have their name in the Book of Life to be concerned. Because this is not funny. I'm a lighthearted brother, and you know, I try to hold back all the time, but I don't do very good at it, you know. But this is serious matter. Weeping, wailing for eternity. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Put your hand up and look around, please. Some have not put their hand up. You just identify them and you make sure you talk to them and you be concerned about them. Thank you. Now, once you get back at work on Monday, or at school perhaps, college, your friends at the playground, would you dare ask them? Is your name in the Book of Life? What about your neighbors? The ones on your right, the ones on your left, across the street. Are their names in the Book of Life? You know, God knows ahead of time what names are in there because he's omniscient. But I do believe God is in the business of writing names in the Lamb's Book of Life. My little book here is not very big, you know. I was just looking at it in the meeting there, and I calculated quickly. I had some 50 blank pages. 22 blank pages. Oh, here we go. 50 blank pages with 22 lines, which is 1,100 names I could put in this little book, you know. I could fill my book here with everybody's name and perhaps your children and grandchildren. I have room for that, you know. God has room in his book. He so loved the world that whosoever could God write in his book of life the name of every human being that ever lived on the face of this earth to the end of time? Of course he can. But go back with me to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. if I read this text correctly, I'm sure that some will be cast. Some will be cast in the lake of fire, because their name wasn't found there. Now, sometimes I've heard people say that God's not going to find any names in there that aren't with him already. I can't say that myself from reading the text. It doesn't say all those. It doesn't say all those. It says whosoever is not found. So I hope that some names are going to be found. And that last minute, you know, maybe the Lord did write some names. It's his prerogative. You know, he's the Lord. He can do what he wants. But I can't be sure about that. I can be sure for me. And I know many in this room, I could tell them by name, their name's in there. I'm sure. But is your name in there? Those whosoever's, 1 in John 3:16, he so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Perishing forever. God sets before us a decision. He says, I have the work of my Son for you. I have heaven for you. I have Revelation 21, 1 to 7 for you. And that's only if you trust my Son, and that's all I require from you, is to recognize that you're a sinner and that I sent my Son to die for you. And if you'll just trust him, that's going to be yours forever. But if you don't, your part is going to be in the lake of fire. Let's read John 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. I use this verse often in the therapy houses, and I read this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. And I ask them, who are these that hear his word? And you know what they say? That's us. They're hearing the word of God. They recognize God is speaking to them. He's speaking to us tonight. Cost him a lot to bring sinners to heaven. Cost him the gift of his Son. And he sets it before us. He sets it before you that we might believe. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Or believe it him that sent me. He's believing the Father, the testimony he has given about his Son. That he so loved us that he gave him. That you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe it him that sent me, hath, not will have, has everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I enjoy the thought that since they passed from death unto life, their name is in the book of life. Those that have life, their name is in there. They have life. How did they get life? They believe what God said about his Son. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ. They said amen. They said yes. They said, Lord, save me. They said, Lord, I trust you. I want you to be my Savior. It doesn't matter how you say it. It comes from your heart. Little faith, a great Savior. Wonderful results. I'm going to see that man in the glory. And I look at the Lord Jesus, but there'll be a man there. I know what his name is. But he was on that cross beside the Lord. He's going to be there in glory, a malefactor. How come he's there? Oh, because he has a Savior. You know, God makes no exception with sin. He is just and He has to punish every sin ever committed in this world. Your sins, my sins, this man's sins, the sin of the whole world, He has to punish every sin. Every sin has received a just recompensive reward. It has to be like that because He's just. And so, either Jesus pays for your sins on the cross, or you pay for your sins yourself. The Lord Jesus was forsaken on the cross. He said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For what reason would God forsake this one who always did those things that pleased Him? And every word, every thought, every action was a delight to the Father's heart. He forsook Him. Why did He forsake Him? He forsook Him so He wouldn't have to forsake you, to forsake me. That's how much He valued to save you and to bring you to heaven. He forsook Him. Now some people say, you know, He felt forsaken. No, not that He felt forsaken. He was forsaken. There was no answer to His cry. Why was there no answer to His cry? So God, in righteousness, could answer your cry. And tonight, my friend, God has a provision for you. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, you can call upon Him tonight. And God is going to respond to your cry tonight. And He's going to save you, and He's going to put your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to be participating in that scene of glory in Revelation 21 with no more crimes, no more pain, no more death. Eternity of bliss and happiness. God dwelling with men and us with Him. Beautiful portions that we can enjoy as Christians too. So much to be developed. But it starts with knowing this Blessed One as your personal Savior. So I ask you tonight, is your name in there? If it's not in there, you can ask God this very moment as we're speaking and say, Lord, I don't understand everything. Either I'm young or I'm confused, but I will tell You, dear God, that I want my name in the Book of Life. I want to be a partaker of those blessings that we've been reading about. And I do not want to partake of those things described in the 8th verse. I do not want to partake of what is going to happen to those whose name is not in the Book of Life. Well, just a couple of more verses and we'll close in prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I did mention that verse before. We're going to read that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, and I might say, in anything else. There is one way to be saved, and it is to a Savior, and His name is the Lord Jesus, and there is no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And so it says here, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You want your name in this book? You call upon the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, save me. You put your name in His book. So let's just close in prayer. Our God and our Father, this evening, we just would thank Thee once again for Thy love to this world. None that weren't loved. We've all been loved. And we've all been included in the gift of Thy Son, in Thy purpose to fill Thy house with creatures such as we. And we just thank Thee for all those of us who've heard the message of Thy love and grace and goodness and forgiveness in our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for all those of us who know that our name is in the Book of Life. And we know, Father, that we could only write our books there, our names there, pardon me, because all has been taken care of. That those things that we're guilty of, that we'd be judged for and sent away for eternity, they've all been taken care of by the Lord Jesus on the cross. When he was forsaken in our stead, when he was punished in our stead, when all the waves and billows of your judgment, Father, fell upon him instead of us. And we do thank thee for this very much. And we pray for anyone in this room who still hasn't put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that the consideration of the consequences might, if it's because of fear, they might come to thee by fear. They are so good to draw us with cords of love. But sometimes we need to be warned. And we pray tonight that none would delay, because the door is still open tonight. And we just thank thee for this and ask for blessing, Father, and thank thee for this time here in Walla Walla. And for those that were with us this evening, we pray for them, each one. And thank thee, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.